This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 9:19 in the morning, Thursday, the 18th of March. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Philip. Now, before we get into a call with our guest from Singapore to talk about the performance of the equity market in Singapore, let's have a quick look at the FBM KLCI, which is still in the lovely shade of green. It's up 0.61% to 1634. However, the FBM KLCI is still down. It's actually just marginally up on a year-to-date basis. It's up 0.46%. Yes, but we are unfortunately one of the underperforming markets in the region. Shanghai is probably the only market down. It's down 0.79%. But the market that's actually done really, really well on a year-to-date basis is the Singapore Straits Times. It's up 10.45% as we speak now. It's quite an amazing thing because it underperformed last year. So the question is, what's propelling this rally? So for more on this, we are joined on the line by Jeff Howie, market strategist at the Singapore Exchange. Good morning, Jeff. Like we said, the Singapore Straits Times up 10.5%. What's driving this rally?
Well, look, if you look over the past 12 months or so, all stock index benchmark returns have mostly been sector driven. And the current, I guess, happenstance is that financial services, or moreover, the big global banks, have been the strongest sector over the past 10 weeks across the world. And Singapore banks are very highly correlated to global banks rather than the regional banks. And the median return of global banks so far this year is something like 12%, which has coincided with a 13% average return for our trio of banks, DBS, OCBC, and UOB. And of course, the three banks make up the biggest weightage of the STI, approximately 40%. But that in turn, the strength in the banks has really been driven by three things. The first is the progress in global efforts to overcome COVID-19. There are now more than, as we know, 120 million global cases, but vaccines are still going ahead at a strong pace with almost 400 million vaccine doses already administered. And then, of course, as you were talking about earlier, you have a very highly accommodative financial condition across the world. The Fed Reserve balance sheet, it's now grown to $7.6 trillion. The ECB balance sheets at $7.1 trillion, and that policy stimulus has helped support businesses in all shapes and sizes, and by extension helped to fuel the moves in stocks, global indices, commodity prices, and so forth. But thirdly, and I guess moreover for the banks specifically, if you look at the 2-year and the 10-year US Treasury yield curve, it's now at 150 basis points, which is now, I guess, 5.5-year highs. The 10-year note yields, they finished last night at 1.64%, while the 2-year yields remain comparatively low, sub 0.2%. So markets, just to sum up, markets are pricing in an eventual recovery and a turn to policy normalization. And what is happening is those higher yields on the long end are helping support the bottom line of the banks.
It really looks like a smooth upward recovery. What are the risks that could upend it?
Yeah, I guess if you look at the downside risk, it's really COVID-19 continuing to be the overarching market driver. And we've, Singapore economy contracted by 5% last year. Our forecast is for 5% growth thereabouts this year. And that's really in line with the global prognosis. But the key risks are obviously the resurgences of COVID-19, which of course has that significant impact on global growth. Inflation, though, it does tend to take time to work through to the core, and hence you'd think that the risk of resurgences or developments of the new viral strains really do overarch any inflation concerns. But for now, the world needs to see continued broader economic recoveries and less of that kind of uneven K-shaped sequential growth that we observed in Singapore and throughout much of the world in the second half of last year.
Now, Jeff, I want to take a step back and look at Singapore's quarter four results season. Were there any surprises for you overall?
Yeah, look, the results were largely in line with estimates for the STI stocks and I guess the actively traded non-STI stocks. Basically, stocks of those industries less adversely impacted by COVID-19, such as the high tech, the medical suppliers, the industrial supply chains and groceries, they performed well. However, much of that was expected. For the banks, the trio results were mostly in line with consensus estimates. I think DBS net profit was in line. OCBC net profit was above above expectations, and UOB was in line. And the three banks, I should mention, have consecutively been able to report combined net interest income above $5 billion since the first quarter of FY18. And that's combined net income each quarter above $5 billion. But for real estate, look, they were mostly in line. Manufacturing, venture, and SD engineering were mostly in line, as was the shipbuilder Yangtze Jiang. I think one of the biggest surprises was Keppel Corp making a significant announcement with its results that it will exit the offshore rig building. And it's doing that to position itself for the global energy transition. So the O&M business, it's going to be restructured into three parts. There's two transient entities to hold completed and uncompleted rigs. And then there's this operating company, which is expected to contribute to the group's ROE target of 15%. I should also mention commodity prices have driven some of those gains in the equity market. So Wilmar beat estimates, and it noted in its business outlook for this year that its oil palm plantation and sugar milling segment will, of course, benefit from these higher palm oil and sugar prices.
So, Jeff, I'm looking at the Bloomberg at the moment and looking at the historical performance for the STI on a year-to-date basis, so up to last evening. Now, of course, like you say, the top gainers are the banks, and the losers here are Keppel Corp, Mapletree, the property developer CityDev. Do you think we're going to see this repeat itself throughout the year?
Yeah, look, I guess... You mean repeat itself in terms of sort of rotation back and forth? It could be the case because, as we said, when you look at the stocks that have performed well this year compared to last year, you've got Singapore Airlines near the top of the charts this year versus being the laggards last year. And it's the same with the likes of the data centers that benefited from, you know, the work from home and technology things that we saw last year. But look, overall, optimism... we do see these spurts of optimism and I guess less optimism. Case in point was back on Monday this week. You saw the Civil Aviation Administration of China. It reported on Monday that there was a surge in air passenger volume in the mainland back in February. I think the surge was close to 190% year on year. So in addition to this announcement of a potential air corridor between Singapore and Australia, on Monday, we saw 6% average gains across the board for the big airlines. China Southern Airlines, China Eastern Airlines, AirAsia Group was in there, Singapore Airlines, Qantas, and Japan Airlines as well. So you will see, I guess, these news-driven events when you have this, I guess, spurt of optimism that comes from a good data set. We do seem to see rotation, and with the the lucidity of the financial conditions at the moment as well, those rotations do happen pretty quickly.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Jeff Howie, market strategist at Singapore Exchange, giving us his views and explaining why the Singapore Straits Times Index has done remarkably well, up 10.51% as we speak. And like he said, it's very much driven by the banking trio, DBS, Overseas, yep, OCBC, and UOB. I think they are indicators or barometers of the expectation of global recovery and global growth.
I must say, if you listen to him, right, all the sectors, there's always some interlinkage with the global economy.
Yeah, Singapore is a tiny island state,
exactly,
but very clued in into the global growth and global economy.
So domestic numbers don't quite drive
what
the
domestic
performance.
Numbers.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's a tiny island. Done really, really well, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, of course.
Right?
It's punched above its weight. And so that's why the linkage to global performance is so key.
But that's all the news we have for you this morning. And in about, very shortly, we'll have the Ringgit at Cents. So do tune in. That's going to be happening after the 9:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.